Malka?
Yasmin?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is there anybody online who doesn't know where to find the handouts? If you're in the recording and you don't know where the handouts are, you can listen to the earlier recordings. You can find them on the Unique Astrological Events link, which is underneath the two pictures on every Yeshem webpage. So today we are connecting to Psalm 4. And Psalm 4 is also one of the psalms that we say on the first day of every Hebrew month, assuming you are saying the psalm every day. This psalm, I'm getting some background noise for your phones. If you want to ask a question, feel free to do so anytime by pressing star 6. Will mute your phone, and it also will unmute your phone. Thank you. This psalm exhorts man not to shame his fellow, and to neither speak nor listen to gossip and slander. Envy not the prosperity of the wicked in this world. Rather rejoice and say, if it is so for those who anger him, how much better it will be for those who serve him. The above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. It's helpful to ponder these words. Why would you envy someone who is prosperous in this world? Maybe they are righteous and you don't see it. Maybe they aren't righteous And as the words of this Kavanah say, be happy for them. Because if you're doing your work, you will be receiving more. Not just in this world, not just in the physical aspects of this world, but in the beauty and the wonder that you gain from being with Torah, from the happiness and joy that you will receive from your children, from the beauty of the physical world, that for the most part, people who are after physical gain, material gain, don't take the time to truly appreciate. The first word in this psalm is Lamnatseach. And in Hebrew, this is usually translated as dedicated to the orchestra leader of creation, who grants eternal victory. Lamnatseach, Netzach, is eternal victory. Who is the orchestra leader? Should they not have said, dedicated to the Creator who grants eternal victory? Why do they translate it as the orchestra leader? What does this teach us? This is something to contemplate. There are 9 pesukim in this psalm, and it connects to Yesod. In other words that have this gematria of 9 is the Hebrew word for heat or covering. Heat is what we feel when we're embarrassed. That's why our blood rushes to our skin and we blush. We're embarrassed. Have you ever been embarrassed? The Kavanah is to not embarrass anyone else. If you don't feel the shame of being embarrassed, how can you know how to avoid embarrassing others? Covering. Covering, you cover a pot. You cover the windows. You cover your body. It's a word to contemplate. What does covering really mean? What is the difference between covering and concealing? And now we're transferring to the PDF file titled Yearning for Redemption. And we are on page 77 of the 216 pages. But we're actually on page, I believe it's page 5 of the section of the Psalms. Tehillim 4. In this psalm, King David emphasizes. Did somebody want to ask a question?
Did we forget the Lashem Yehud?
Yes, we did, and thank you for reminding me. I'm starting with the Lashem Yehud now, and I appreciate that. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkin Tebit Hilu Urchimud Hilu Urchilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yud Hei Bavav Hei B'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Ta'anit Dibur Mitzvah La'shon Tov Mitzvah Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei adeinu konenei aleinu maasei adeinu konenehu. In this psalm, King David emphasizes the value of trusting in Hashem and putting all our efforts into becoming worthy of his blessing. And this is juxtaposed against the mistaken attitude of those who place supreme value on material prosperity as opposed to spiritual integrity. As always, it is our choice. Will we opt for a life attuned to fulfilling Hashem's will in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, or will we forever miss the mark, mistaking outer success for the real thing? If we choose the former, we may even have to do so in the face of insults and accusations by those who have chosen the latter. Those who, in their desire to attain material benefit, have lost sight of what is of real importance. In the end, they too will come to realize that happiness can never depend solely upon material possessions. On the contrary, only the power of Hashem's light beaming into our souls nourishes true feelings of trust and happiness. Feelings that lead not to spiritual torpor, but to greater and greater attainment, because they are accompanied by a determination to fulfill Hashem's will. Page 6, verse 1 of Psalm 4. Lam natseach bin ginot mizmor le David. Dedicated to the Master of Creation, who grants victory through melodies, even in the midst of affliction. Mizmor le David, a pruning psalm by David. Footnote 16. Lam Natseach, dedicating to the Master of Creation who grants victory. This superscription introduces a third of the Psalms, 55 out of the 150 Psalms, over one-third of the Book of Psalms. And on page 13 of the introduction, and on 16, is this combination of Lam Natseach and Mizbor. I recommend that you be reading that at your convenience, because, as I said, we will do it after we finish the Psalms. But it really is worthwhile to do it yourself. There is so much in the introduction of secrets of light, of goodness. I highly recommend it. And even when we do it together a second time for you, there will be things that you didn't read the first time. The second verse. Bikari aneni Elohe Sidki Batsar Hirchavta Lichaneni Ushma tefilati. When I call out from my narrow straits, answer me. Hashem, who deals justly, charitably with me, because I try to live a life of righteousness that is in consonance with your will. You, who have always enlarged me, expanded my consciousness, even in the midst of constriction, be gracious to me and continue to hearken to my heartfelt prayer. What is constriction? Constriction is the land of Egypt. Our sages, our modern sages, have told us that the Western world, America, is our Egypt. And it is the worst of all of the exiles. Why do they tell us that it's the worst of all the exiles? Is anybody in slavery in this country, in this Western philosophy? And that's what makes it the worst, because we don't see the slavery. We don't see the idols that we are worshiping. The wealthy. The people who are constantly running after money. The people who are looking to buy the toys, the things, the technological advances. Every year, there's a new iPhone. And every year, people buy new ones. This is slavery. Slavery to materiality. This is constriction. And yet, even within constriction, even in this Egypt, there is spiritual growth potentially. Each of us listening to my voice, each of us reading these Psalms today, are growing spiritually. Because that's what the Hebrew letters do. The third verse. Bnei ishad me kevodi liklima te'echan vun rik tevakshu bakazav sela. Children of great men who have forgotten that true honor is humility before Hashem, how long will you mock the very thing that accrues to my honor? How long will you continue to love and honor that which has no value and seek that which will leave you disappointed in the end? Selah. As we learned yesterday, Selah means a pause, something to contemplate. What do you contemplate in this verse? Are you seeking value? There is a conflict in the sages' writings and the Talmud and elsewhere, even in the Zohar to some extent. The conflict is very simple. If you have certainty, do you have to earn a living? The money that you are going to receive during this year was ordained on Rosh Hashanah. Do you have to run after it? Can you change it? Yes, with teshuvah you can change it. But it's after Hanukkah. It's extremely difficult to change it at this point. So why do you go to work? Why not stay home and study Torah? Because the amount of money you're going to get is the same. Oh, you might not get it every 2 weeks, like a paycheck. You might have to wait till the last day before next year, 2,5719. excuse me, 5,779. And the conflict is there are other sages who say, no, you need to work. You need to do physical labor because Adam was told to work the garden. And that working the physical labor is a form of spiritual growth. These conflicts, these arguments, are for the sake of heaven. And everybody has different levels of certainty, of trust in Hashem. And without the absolute highest level, studying Torah does not absolve you of working in the garden. Although both physical labor, working at a job, and studying Torah, all of these are working in the garden. A lot to contemplate, isn't there? And that's why Selah is at the end of this verse. Just for the record, just to understand, there is a conflict going on in the modern state of Israel. Because as the Orthodox community grows and the rabbis of this generation, who the Zohar tells us have roots of their soul in the Erev Rav, the rabbis have told us that's what the rabbis of this generation are about. And they're saying to all of their flock, all of their parishioners, all of the people who follow them, don't work in the physical world. The government is going to provide for us to study Torah. And you go ahead and have, while you're studying in the yeshiva, somehow you get home and your wife has 7 kids, 9 kids, 10 kids. And thank God they do. But the amount of money that is given to these families by the government it's unable to support 10 kids. But the father is in the yeshiva studying. And the mother, in addition to taking care of the 10 kids, is working to support the family needs. This is not what people do in the Western world. In the Western world, you have 2 incomes. You have 2 children or 2.5 children. This conflict is going on because in the secular world of Israel, the secular world that's in the land of Israel, in the modern state of Israel, they're saying, I'm working, I'm supporting my family. Why do I need to support your 10 children? And that argument is ongoing, the same argument built into verse number 3. It isn't in the past. It isn't long ago. It is in your life today, in our world today. The 4th verse. Uduki ifla Adonai Ohewahe. Chasid lo Adonai Ohewahe Yishma Bekari Elav. Know that Hashem has always set apart and distinguished and drawn near the one who selflessly devotes himself to him. I am therefore certain that Hashem will hear when I call to him. If you don't serve Hashem daily, and I haven't defined what serve means, if you don't serve Hashem daily, do you have the right to call out to him for help when circumstances go against you in your perception? It's a question that you must contemplate. The answer is you don't need the right to call out to Hashem. He wants you to call out to him for help because his nature is to help. His nature is to share. This is what Kabbalah teaches. But that doesn't mean that he will share if you're going to abuse the energy. You're in the circumstances that you've created. He wants you to call out to him for help when you need it. He wants you to call out for more when you don't need it. But in order to receive more, you have to be happy with where you are. And this is the adage. Be happy with what you have, where you are. Semicolon. And ask for more. More spiritual growth. More physical comfort. More economic wealth. But it starts with more spiritual growth. The fifth verse. Rigzu v'yotechetau imru vilvavchem al mishkavchem bedomu sela. Shudder when you contemplate the frailty of human existence in the face of God's omnipotence. Stand firm against the wiles of the evil inclination and sin no more. Speak softly in your heart upon your bed at night and be still. Selah. Footnote 17. Rabbi Levi Bar Chama said in the name of Resh Lakish, these are two sages who are written very frequently in the Talmud, a person should constantly arouse, agitate his Yetzer HaTov, his good inclination, to overcome his Yetzer Hara, his evil inclination. As the verse said, states, Rigzu v'al techetav, arouse, agitate yourselves, and sin no more. If he overcomes it, fine. If not, he should immerse himself in Torah, as the verse continues. Imru, the Kriyat Shema, Sha'al Hamita, the nighttime Shema. As the verse continues, Al Mishgav Chem, on your bed. If he overcomes it, fine. If not, he should remind himself of the day of his death. As the verse continues, Bidomu Selah, and be still forever. There is an expanded commentary in the Talmud in Brachot 5a. That expanded commentary is essentially saying, study Torah, and if you do not see any growth from the study of Torah, here are your list of things that you can do. Redouble your efforts in Torah. Say the nighttime Shema. So when you go up and are judged each day, as we are taught what happens, you have a defense. Because just before that judgment, you're doing a mitzvah of saying the Shema. And if that does not work, contemplate the end of your life. Not your death anymore, but the end of your life. Because leaving Torah, not doing enough spiritual work, is death while you live. The sixth verse. Zivchu, zivche, tzedek uvichu, el Adonai, Yohewahe. Then in the morning, offer joyous sacrifices of righteousness and look trustingly to Hashem alone to fulfill all your needs. So you go to sleep having said the Kriyat Shema, the nighttime Shema. What happens in the morning? Read the rites, the sacrifices, the Ketoret, the incense. This is the structure of the morning prayer. It's one of the first things we do. Why do we read the Ketoret in the morning? Because we need to be drawn closer to Hashem. Even if you're right next to Hashem, you need to be drawn closer to Hashem. You need to make room in your heart for Hashem, to build a vessel of your heart so that Hashem can reside within you. The seventh verse. Rabbim omrim mi yareinu tov nisa aleinu or panecha Adonai Yohewahe. Many of you see material prosperity as a sign of God's favor. You therefore ask, oh, that someone would show us the way to attain the material good of this world. Since this is partly justified, I too plead on your behalf, Hashem. Raise up the light of your countenance as a sign of your miraculous providence over us. Do you ask for a sign from Hashem that he exists? Do you ask for a sign that he favors you? You struggle from paycheck to paycheck. You struggle in this world of plenty, of material wealth. Never in the history of the world, never in any of your reincarnations has that wealth been so clear as it is in America, as it is in the Western world. Yet, never has the spiritual work been so difficult. It's not the fact that we live separated from each other. We find it difficult to have minions, to be able to pray together. What is happening? The world is getting darker, we think. No, the world is not getting darker. We just have to turn on more light. The eighth verse. Natata simcha belibi me'et deganam v'tirosham rabu. The difference between us is that I perceive God's providence over us in all things. I therefore thank him, saying, you have already placed joy in my heart, greater than when their grain and their wine increase. Who is the happiest nation on the earth, according to the modern scientific technology, the survey? The happiest nation on earth is not the modern state of Israel. It's not the United States filled with material wealth. It's the country of Norway. They're the happiest, according to scientific surveys. Why are they the happiest? Because they do not have wealthy people. And they do not have poor people. They have everyone in the middle. They take care of the poor, and they work hard at their jobs. They earn their income. They feel proud of having earned their income. They do their work. They're working the garden, both physically and spiritually. But of course, the survey doesn't come out every day. People don't hear it in the news every day. What is the difference between you and your neighbor who doesn't go to church, who doesn't go to synagogue, who doesn't pray in a formalized way every day? Why is the word Selah not in this verse? Why didn't it cause us to pause to contemplate what I am teaching you, what I'm saying to you, what I am trying to motivate your spiritual growth with? Do you thank God? Do you have gratitude right now for the joy in your heart? Or are you human who wants more and forgets to be grateful for what you have? God forbid. The ninth pasuk. B'shalom yachdan eshkiva v'yishan ki ata Adonai yohewahe levadad levetachto shiveni. In peace, at one with all, I will therefore lie down and sleep peacefully, for you alone, Hashem, will let me dwell in safe security. Footnote 18. Or, in the meantime, even when my enemies make peace among themselves and unite to annihilate me, I lie down and fall peacefully asleep, for you, Hashem, grant me the assurance that I need to dwell alone in undisturbed security. I have heard many, many times from my children, from my friends who are not observant. I couldn't live in Israel. I couldn't live in the modern state of Israel. I don't want to visit there. It's so dangerous there. It is a country surrounded by its enemies. Oh, there's signs that the enemies are changing, that they're fighting among themselves, when for the last 70 years, they didn't fight among themselves. They were united in their antagonism toward the modern state of Israel. What's happening in the world? Could there be Hashem's hand behind all of these activities? Remember, history is the veil that conceals Hashem. What did I just talk about? Did I talk about the present or did I talk about history? I'm now going to read the fourth psalm once again. Lam natzeach b'mginot mizmor l'David b'kari aneini Elohe tzidki b'tzar hirchavta li haneini Ushma tefilati b'nei ish atme kivodi l'kala likli kama ha'ehavun rik betevakshu kazav sela. V'da'udu ki tifla Adonai Yohewahe Chasid lo Adonai Yohewahe Yishma bekari Elav Rigzu v'al techeta'u Imru vilvavchem al mishkavchem v'domu sela. Zivchu zivchei tzedek uvidchu el Adonai Yohewahe. Rabim omrim mi ardeinu, tov nisa aleinu, or panecha, Adonai Yohewahe, natata simcha, belibi met, diganam. The Tiro Sham Rabu. B'shalom yachdav eshkiva v'ishan ki ata Adonai Yohewahe Levadad Levetach Toshiveni. Psalm 5. We're back to the Psalms landing page. This psalm is also said it's part of the first day, day one of our monthly cycles. A prayer for every individual requesting that the wicked perish for their deeds and the righteous rejoice for their good deeds. This kavanah is the traditional kavanah. Do you think you need to wish bad to the wicked? Or can you just rejoice for the good deeds that people do? In recent years, there has been a different recommended kavanah in some groups. This change is based on the movement teaching all life is precious. The kavanah is a prayer for every individual to request that each person receive what is best for that individual to be able to manifest their tikkun as rapidly as possible. Make up your own kavanah when you say this psalm. Use one of these two. All is good. All is representative of where you are spiritually. The first word is lamnatseach, which in Hebrew is translated dedicated to the orchestra leader of creation who grants eternal victory. But as we saw, another way of translating it is dedicated to the creator who grants eternal victory. There are 13 pesukim in Psalm 5, which connects to the energy of unity. Also to the 13 attributes of mercy in the level of a Zeranpin, and also to the 13 attributes of mercy to the level of Arichanpin. Other Hebrew words with the gematria of 13 is ahava, love, deaga, caring. And there is the 13 attributes of mercy, which we say frequently. We will not do all 13 verses today. Why not? One might ask. Because of time considerations. But we will say as many as we can. You'll notice there is no introduction by Rabbi Sutton. Perhaps you'll find out as we read it. Perhaps we will discuss it when we complete it. The first verse. Lam Natseach El Hanchilot Mizmor Le David. Remember, one of the 55 Psalms that have both introductory words. A pruning word, a cutting word, and one connecting to eternal victory. Lamnatsea, dedicated to the master of creation who grants victory. El Hanechilot, in achieving our highest destiny. Mizmor le David, a cutting psalm by David. The second verse. Amarai ha'azina Adonai Yohe Wahe Bina ha'gigi. Give ear to my whisper, Hashem. Probe the unformed thoughts of my meditation. Have you ever thought that in your meditation that you have thoughts, that you receive thoughts from outside of yourself, but they're not formed, they're not a complete thought, they're just whispers? Something to contemplate. The third verse. Hakshiva lekol shavi malki velohai ki. Elecha itpalel. Be attentive to the voice of my cry, my King. And my God, for I pray only to you. Stop here. I will pick up tomorrow at this location. Are there any questions? Our next class will be Havdalah tomorrow night, Motzi Shabbat. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class. I say shalom to all. Have a beautiful day.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom.
All right. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom to all as well.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you, Hanok.
Thank you.